Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. We'll be in verse 14. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have your heart yet hardened? Have your eyes and see not? And having ears, hear ye not? Do you not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? Let's say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that you do not yet understand? Now, he had explained to him that in another passage that the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod was false doctrine. But they were thinking about something else. They were thinking about their bellies. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please fill us with your Holy Spirit. The folks that came here today came to be fed. They came to enjoy some fellowship. They came for reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. They didn't come to hear a man just spout off what he thinks he knows about the Bible. They came to hear from you, and I pray that you'll speak with them today and deal with each heart in accordance with your will. For those that are lost, they may be saved, and those who are saved, Father, that they may really grow closer to you and know more Bible. And for those that are visiting today, Father, they may be here as just maybe a temporary visit, something for this day, or maybe they're looking for where you want them to be. And Father, we pray for them today that you will guide them to the place you want them to be. If it's here, praise the Lord. But if it's somewhere else, give them the peace of mind and understanding to know where your Holy Spirit wants them to be. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He says here in verse 17, Perceive ye not yet? You see that? In verse 17, Why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? You know, perception is often a matter of perspective. It has something to do with what you're thinking about or what you hear and what's said or what you see and what you observe as to whether or not you're going to understand what is truly meant or what the reality of the situation is. Here, the Lord was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees, which was a false doctrine, and the doctrine of Herod, which was a false doctrine, and the disciples. All they were hearing was bread. We got one loaf here, and there's 12 of us. We didn't, you know. So he's saying, when you go to the market, don't buy with the, you know, leavened bread of the Pharisees. And the Lord's like, man, where are you guys coming from? Perceive ye not yet? So you know something. There are some things that the Lord wants us to perceive, and there are some things that affect our perception. So what affects our ability to perceive? The first thing is, like here, your point of view. Your point of view can affect what you perceive. You know, if three people are eyewitnesses to a wreck, but they're standing on three different corners, they may each give a different account because they've each perceived something differently. One may be in a position to see that the wreck was caused by somebody that ran a red light. The other two may not have been able to see that. They couldn't contribute that piece of information, because they were not standing in the right place. They might assume that, but they might be wrong if that wasn't the case. So your point of view could affect your perception. When talking to other people then, you have to really, really listen to what they are saying if you're going to understand and perceive what they're trying to tell you. But you know what? We're not usually good listeners. A lot of times when somebody else is talking and there's a dialogue going on, or even more so an argument going on, You're not really thinking about what the other person is saying while they're talking. You're thinking about what you're going to say next. If you've ever listened to call-in talk radio, you understand that. The guy answering the question is not answering the question that was asked, and the guy getting ready to respond to the answer to the question that wasn't asked isn't even responding to what was said. There's no conversation there at all. You've got to really listen, and when you're listening, you have to be able to determine where they're coming from. You know, a lot of times people can't put into words exactly what it is that they're feeling. It may be that they're embarrassed to say what it is. Or it may be that they hope by shielding the comment a little bit, because they don't want to hurt you or confuse you, that they say something and that you can just read into what they've said, what they meant. That happens a lot of times with husbands and wives. You should have known that I meant that when I said this. I'm not a mind reader. How was I supposed to get that out of that? Well, you know me. Yeah, but I didn't know that about you. So this matter of perception can be affected by your point of view. In one passage of Scripture, Jesus Christ is explaining to his disciples that he's going to leave and come back. And he says, yet a little while and I'm with you, yet a little while and you see me no more, yet a little while and you see me again. All right, well, let me tell you something. There is a great difference in the point of view on that little while. All right, if you and I say to each other, oh, yeah, I'll see you in a little while, you're expecting that to happen in the same day. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, yet a little while you see me no more, yet a little while you see me again. He was talking about something that's now nearly 2,000 years. Well, there is a difference in point of view on 2,000 years. The Bible says one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. So that's just been a couple of days for him. For us, it's been 2 millennia. So your point of view can affect your perception of something that is said. Most of you know my wife and our youngest daughter are traveling right now. They've been with Ann's mother, and they've been gone 2 weeks. And they are going to be gone yet another week. And I had something to say about that in an email recently, to which my daughter replied, well, we just have 1 more week. May I tell you something? There's a lot of difference in the perspective on that 1 week. I emailed back to her and I said, you cannot imagine what 1 more week without you, how long that is. You cannot imagine how long 1 more week without you is. And I can't remember how short 1 more week of vacation is. Same week. But the point of view is drastically different, right? Wally has passed away to go over to be with the Lord. There's a lot of difference in the perception and point of view. Our point of view of that is from the earth. God's point of view is from heaven. The heavenly point of view from the Lord is, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Our point of view is, we've had to say goodbye to a good friend, or a father, or a grandfather, or a relative. It's a completely different point of view. Now, if we can get God's point of view on his recent passing, at least it helps some, doesn't it? Because the Bible says, then we sorrow not as others which have not hope. So it's good to have God's perspective and see this from his point of view, because then we can look and say, while we miss him and grieve, which is so normal to do, at the same time, we can appreciate what God has seen in the arrival of yet one more of his children, and thank God for that. So your point of view can definitely affect your perception. Perceive ye not yet? Well, their point of view was hunger, or potential hunger, and his point of view was, I don't want my disciples corrupted by bad doctrine. Once they communicated with each other from their point of view, then the disciples, in another passage, it shows you, then they understand he was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, meaning their bad doctrine. Don't get that stuff in there, okay? So when you're talking with somebody else, or when you're trying to understand something from the Bible, always make sure you've got to look at it from God's point of view, or you've got to see it from their point of view if you're going to perceive it. I'll tell you something else that can affect your perception or your ability to perceive. Perceive ye not yet, the Bible says. Your judgment can affect that. Your judgment can affect that. Keep your finger where you are because we're not through with this text. And go over to, well, before you leave, I'm sorry, before you leave. Look at verse 18 in the text that we're reading. Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. You know, the Bible says that the Lord is the one that made the seeing eye and the hearing ear. Yeah, they have those things. And he said, well, use them. How come you can't perceive? We'll go back to Mark chapter 4, and I'll show you that your judgment can affect what you're hearing, and your judgment can affect what you're seeing. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 24. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, there's a companion passage to that verse of Scripture as well, but basically what he's saying, when you see something that I do, and you make a judgment about that, he says, you better be careful about that, how you make that judgment. When you hear something that I say, he says, then you be careful how you measure that, because the way you measure it is the way it's going to be measured to you again. In other words, Jesus would say about something he said, if you account what I'm saying the words of man, then they're going to be accounted to you as the words of man. But in fact, they were the words of God. And that affects your ability to perceive what he's saying. I'll give you an example. In the book of Acts, Paul is on trial for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on trial because of what happened in the temple. And he has an opportunity to speak before Festus and Agrippa. And explain his salvation. He's given his testimony, and as he goes through that whole thing, Festus interrupts him and says, much learning doth make thee mad. Well, Paul was anything but a madman. But that was the judgment of Festus. He said, that stuff sounds like the ranting of a raving idiot. The Pharisees saw the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, he hath a devil. Well, that was their judgment of the miracles that he performed. In fact, he did those miracles by the power of God. The Pharisees got that wrong based on their judgment. Listen, you go out here and you look around you, and what you see is evidence in nature, right? You see the stars, you see the sun, the moon. You see the planets, you see the Grand Canyon, you see the strata, you see the bugs, you see all that kind of stuff. You're still looking for the dinosaurs, but you know, you're looking, right? All of that stuff is just evidence. One man looks at all of that stuff out there in nature and out there in the heavens, and he says, I see God. Another man looks at the exact same evidence, and he says, I see evolution. I don't see God at all. Same evidence. How did they come up with a different conclusion? Their point of view is the same. They're both looking at it from the same place. But the difference is one has made a judgment about what he's seen based upon the science of natural processes, and his observation is God didn't do this. It happened by itself. Another man looks at that and said, that's God. There's no way that could happen without the Lord. Now, if you judge something based on the words of God, then I'm going to tell you, like me, I can go out there and look at all that stuff. I don't care what you say about it. God said he made it. He made it. Because my judgment now is, and my judgment is based upon what God said about the thing, not how I view it. You understand? Now, for us as Bible believers, the thing we ought to do is go into the Bible and see what God says about things and then make our judgments based on what he said. The reason that people get into trouble when they have an argument that's some sort of a religious argument or any other kind of argument, but suffice it to say, in this context, a religious discussion or something about salvation, the reason that they get in trouble is that one of them, it's their opinion. What's your opinion on that situation? What's your opinion on that situation? What's your opinion? I don't care. Who cares about your opinion? What did God say? And then you have a judgment that is going to be real according to the words of God. I'll tell you something else that can affect your perception, not only your point of view and your judgment, But the Lord can affect your perception. Who was he talking to when he was talking there in Mark chapter 8? What nationality of people did he minister to? Jews. He says in Matthew chapter 15, I've not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's ministering to Jews. Israel is a very interesting nation in its relationship with God. God makes comment about their ability to perceive things. Let me give you some examples. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 29. And look what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verse 2. All right, the Bible says this. Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. Those plagues, the drowning in the Red Sea, all that. He said, you've seen all that. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. That's mind-boggling. They saw it all, and they still couldn't figure it out. They're following a cloudy pillar by day and a pillar of fire by night. Manna's coming down out of heaven. Water's coming out of a rock. Pharaoh is dead. The chariots are upside down in the bottom of the Red Sea. Egypt is nearly destroyed by all the plagues that hit upon them, and they ain't got that figured out yet. Jesus Christ comes on the earth. He starts performing all the miracles. He speaks in parables to his disciples, and he says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I heal them. A very special relationship that the Lord has with Israel. He shows them and shows them and shows them, and they don't see and they don't see and they don't see. The Lord has affected their perception. Now you say, only them? Not only them, but them in a very special way. We're all affected by it. You know, the Bible says some things. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you real quick. I don't want you to have to be fumbling around with the Scripture and miss the continuity of the message. About God it is said, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. May I tell you something? If God would knock out the sun and pull back the curtain of the heavens, you'd see Him. And you can't see Him. He's in here right now. And some of you don't even know that. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. But why can't you see him? Job, he says, he passes by me and I can't see him. He passes by me and I can't perceive him. Why? He won't let you see him. But you go over there to the book of Revelation, and by the time we get into the new heaven and the new earth, everybody's seeing him. What is that? That's the Lord and his ability to affect your perception. In other words, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he could have further evidenced that he was God. Beyond what he did. But may I tell you something? He did enough. When you read in the Psalms and you see who stills the waves and who calms the seas and who stops the wind, and that's God, and then Jesus Christ comes to the earth and he does all those things, what's the conclusion? Beelzebub, of course. Oh, and Jesus even said, you guys are so messed up. Listen, if Satan goes against Satan, his kingdom is divided. He's not going to go against himself. For one thing, and the other thing is, that is a notable miracle, but that's one only God can do. Read the Psalms. And they say, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. What happened? The Lord did not give them enough information to be able to perceive beyond what he gave them who he was. But you know something? There were other people who figured it out. There were other people who figured it out. Now one day, why would he do this for Israel? Let me just explain this so it doesn't leave a big question mark on your mind when you walk out here and say, that was a pretty good sermon today, but I still ain't got that thing with the Jews figured out. let me just go one step further with you so we can leave that and you can have some peace about it and go on to the next point. You know what God's going to do one of these days according to Jeremiah chapter 31? He's going to put Israel under a new covenant, and when he does, he says, I'm going to write my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and everyone shall know me from the least to the greatest, and their sins and their iniquities while I remember no more. There is a day when he's going to take off the blinders and they go, oh, duh, it's you. Then he's going to go back and show them all the stuff he did, and they're going to go, wow, why didn't we figure that out? Well, a lot of it has to do with how much he's willing to show you. May I tell you something? And I've told you this before, but I like repeating it. I hope you like hearing it, because I'm going to tell you. You know what happens when we get older? A lot of times we get older, we say, did I ever tell you about? You know, and they're saying, no, I don't think you've ever heard that. I hate that when they start lying to you, because you know it deep down, I probably did, and then I don't think I've ever heard that before. But then there comes a time in our lives when we get old enough, we say, did I ever tell you about old so-and-so? You go like that, you go, well, you're just going to have to hear it again. I'm getting closer to that age now, so you're just going to have to hear this again. I did not see the crucifixion, and neither did you. I didn't see, I was not an eyewitness to the resurrection, and neither were you. But I couldn't believe it any more than I do right now if I had been there as an eyewitness. You know why? Because God revealed to us in His words, He said so, that He rose from the dead, that He died on the cross, and that that is the finished work for our salvation. And I'm going to tell you something, it's real. And you know what my perception is on it? It's God's perception. Why? Because He didn't hide that fact from me, though I was not an eyewitness. There's something else that will affect your ability to perceive. He says, perceive ye not yet? I'll tell you, there is something that will affect that. You know what it is? It's your sin. Your sin will affect your ability to perceive something clearly, either out here or, more importantly, in the Word of God. Go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. You said, are we supposed to keep our finger in Mark 8? Yeah, I'm getting there. I'll get back. Kind of doing the rabbit go around a little bit. Anybody remember while you're turning to John chapter 9 what happened in that particular chapter? What happened in John chapter 9? That's right. What happened in John chapter 9? A man born blind was healed. That never happened before. Okay? Never happened before. Then the Pharisees were just really upset because the man who was born blind that was healed said Jesus did it. And they said, well, he's a sinner. And the blind man had to say, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. I can't make that judgment. I can tell you this. It's never been reported that a man, or what since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Simple enough for that guy, right? But look at the end of the chapter in verse 39. John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, watch it, that they which see not may see, and that they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You know what's happened? That sin had actually interfered with their ability to recognize that Jesus Christ, who was in fact sinless, was the one that caused this man born blind to see. And they didn't perceive it. They were blinded by it. Now, consider something. Let's go back. Don't turn to it, but let's just go back mentally to early part in the Bible. Most of us have read up at least through Genesis chapter 3. Some of you in January this year said, bless God, I'm going to start on a Bible reading program. And you got about out to Genesis 10, and you may not have gotten any further than that, but you've at least got to 3. Okay? And in Genesis chapter 3, this is the temptation of Eve, and the devil attacks the Word of God. There's the cause for doubt and the subtraction and the addition and the changing and the lying about the words of God before there's ever any fruit eaten, okay? The Word of God was being attacked. Now, right before Eve ate the fruit, she looked at the tree. She made an observation of the tree. Not based upon the judgment of God. God's judgment said, as we've already seen, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The devil said, thou shalt not surely die. She goes and she takes a look at that tree and she goes, this is a tree okay, that is pleasant to the eyes. That's a good thing. It's good for food and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she did eat. Those things about that tree were true. And the devil said, in the day that you eat that, your eyes are going to be opened and you shall be as God. And she ate that fruit and Adam ate that fruit. And what was the first thing that happened? Their eyes were open. They turned around and looked at each other and went, ah! They saw that they were naked and they were ashamed. They'd never seen that before. And yet they were that way. Their perception totally changed as the result of sin. Something that they saw that was decent and unashamed was suddenly indecent and shameful. And it was yet the same condition. It was the heart of the sinner that changed. All that stuff that she saw about the tree, she saw and perceived, but those were things that caused her to go against the judgment of God. And sin, from that time to this day, has affected our perception of God and the things of God and each other. Our perception is affected by sin. Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, said, if thine eye be single, then thy whole body shall be full of light. And if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Is that right? You say, well, what's the single eye? It's very simple. We've talked about it before. A single eye is an eye that recognizes that the perception of the viewer is already affected by sin and says, I am going to look at what God wants me to look at, and I'm going to see it the way God wants me to see it. If Eve had looked at this tree the way that God wanted her to see it, she would have said, in spite of the fact that it looks good, it is forbidden, and I will not eat. See? That's the single eye. But she had an evil eye that said, well, it's good for this and good for that and good for this, so God must be wrong and the serpent must be right. I will eat, and then boom, oh man, look what's happened now. How many times did you ever have the wake-up call after you sinned? Sure. Oh, that's what you were talking about. And sin affects that. So he says, if your eye be single, let me repeat it again. You say, what's the single eye? It's this very simply. It is looking at what God wants you to see and seeing it the way God wants you to see it. It is hearing what God wants you to hear and hearing it the way God wants you to hear it, or understanding it the way God wants you to understand it. One man looks at the King James Bible, he says, that's a bunch of contradictions and that's a bunch of stuff, I'm going to change that. Another man looks at that and said, those are the words of God. I look at it and say, those are the words of God. Why? Because I'm not going to let the sin that is in me change my perception of something that is holy and right and good. You see how it goes? Listen, youngsters, we got a lot of young people in here today. If you were to look at marital candidates, the opposite sex, the way God wants you to see them, look at what you're supposed to look at the way God wants you to look at it. You wouldn't get in trouble. It's when you look at something God doesn't want you to see and you look at it the way you want to see it, that's when you get in trouble. And when you get older, same thing. Your sin affects your perception. Now go back to Mark chapter 8. You say, oh, thank you. I can take my finger out of there now. Whew, losing circulation. Mark chapter 8, look at verse 17. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Watch it. Have ye your heart yet hardened? You know what can affect your perception is not only your point of view and your judgment, your sin or the Lord, but I'll tell you what else can affect it. Your hard heart. Your hard heart can affect it. You see, when you talk to people today and they are trying to evaluate each other's perspective on a thing, each other's perception of a thing, one will say to the other, well, you know, it depends on how you look at it. All right, if you're listening to a talk show, for instance, one person asks another person, well, so what do you think about the condition of our economy? And the guy says, well, it depends on how you're looking at it. That guy's getting ready to lie to you. Or he's getting ready to tell you something he's really not sure about. Or he's getting ready to tell you something that he thinks he knows that he doesn't really know. Because once he says it depends on how you look at it, he's already telling you, this is my view or my opinion. And his opinion, he may be lucky enough to be right, or she may be lucky enough to be right, but more than likely they're wrong, right? So people will say, well, it depends on how you look at it. Or they'll say, well, that's the way it looks to me. But doesn't that sound a little bit like situational ethics? I mean, I really, you don't like it when your kids do that to you. Well, I thought. Really and truly, when you consider everything in life, it really doesn't depend on how you look at it. Or it really doesn't depend on that's the way it looks to you. What it depends on is what God said about it. What God said about it. And then your perception is whether or not you believe what he said. A person with a hard heart is not going to believe what God says. It doesn't make any difference how simple God makes it. For instance, if in here today I was telling you that if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, listen carefully. If I'm telling you, if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You go, really? Yeah, I say right here, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I go through and show you some other scriptures of why you need to be saved and all that. You looked at all that and your heart was hardened and you said, I don't know if I can believe that or not. I say, okay, well, I'm going to notch it up one for you. Dear Lord, I pray that you will help by a confirmed witness right now and help this person understand that they need to receive you as their Savior. Boom, Jesus Christ appears. Holes in the hands, holes in the feet, holes in the side, hole in the side. And he comes up and says to you, you know what that guy just told you out of my word is right. You say, well, I'd believe you then, not if you had a hard heart. You know what you do? You'd leave and say, that guy's better than David Copperfield. Holographically, or whatever that thing is called, hologramically, or whatever that thing is called, poof, he made this thing come in there like Jesus. Boy, he almost had me convinced. If you got a hard enough heart, you won't believe what God said. And if you don't believe what he said, that will affect your perception. If I say to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and your heart is tender toward the words of God, you'll say, you know something, I didn't realize I was lost. But if he's willing to save an old sinner like me, I'll get saved. That's a tender heart. You go in there and go, Baptists. Go for a Sunday morning sermon, you're hearing something that's pretty cool on perception, and the guy has to end with an appeal for my soul. So sick and tired of that, I'm surprised he didn't hit on tithing too. You know what that is? That's a hard heart. And that's you're not going to get saved. Not with a hard heart. It will affect your perception. You see, the truth is the truth whether you believe it or not, isn't it? You know, they used to have that saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Remember that? That was real noble. But really and truly, it's just God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not. Right? Your belief is just your perception of what he said, and therefore affects your response. There was a plague that Moses said, I'm going to send grievous hell, H-A-I-L. I said it South Texas way. H-E-L-L, but I meant the stuff that falls out of the sky. Okay? I'm going to send grievous hail. But that sounds like a guy from West Texas. Still have to spell it when you're in Texas. Oh, hail, you know. I'm talking about the stuff that comes from above. Okay. So he said, I'm going to bring that in here, and I'm going to kill everything that is out there in the field. And listen to the response. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Their perception was it's going to happen. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And they all died because hail came. Just like he said it would. So you want to check your heart. That's why he said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's why you want to check your heart when you come to the Word of God, and you better come to this thing with a heart of belief. Because if you don't, you are going to get messed up in that book. It is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. So you got to really, really watch out for that. He said, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So your hard heart can affect your perception. So you know something? For those of us who are saved, we really don't want to look at this thing the way we see it. You know, you'll hear people talk about the Bible. Well, the way I see it, next. How about the what it says? We need to be careful about that in our own lives and recognize, you know what, if I want to have a single eye and sharp vision and not get into the mess that the disciples got into here, I want to make sure that I am perceiving. Now, I don't want the Lord to say to me, perceive ye not yet. Okay? But if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you truly can be saved if you will believe what he said. You truly can. But I want to remind you something, because there's one other person in this room that can affect your perception, and that's the devil. You say, what is he doing in here? Well, he's not welcome, but he comes every day that we're here. I had an old friend of mine one time. He was streetwise. He was a very observant fella, and he says, you know the devil goes to your church. I said, yeah, I know that. I know who he is. No. He says, you know how he gets in there? I said, I knew he wanted to tell me. I said, okay, so how? He said, well, you watch. You watch people as they come up the door. If they just grab the door and walk in, he said, that's not the one. He said, you got a guy that comes up there and grabs that door and looks back, and there's nobody there? That's the guy. So I got two or three guys positioned here in the foyer when y'all are coming in there watching you guys. No, he comes in because he's a spiritual being. He's not confined to windows and doors. He comes in affecting our hearts. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, it's not rocket science. You already knew that when you walked in. You know it particularly well now because the Holy Spirit is operating on your heart and giving you some conviction that, hey, bub, he's talking about you. You know that. You don't want me to know that, but you know it. And I know that about you. And while you're sitting here contemplating whether or not you ought to take up the offer of Jesus Christ to receive him as your Savior, you're toying this thing with perception in your own heart right now. And the devil comes along and he goes, and now you cannot see the truth of what I just said. And you cannot see your own sinful condition before God. And you can't see the reality of hell. He's blinded your mind to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's dangerous. You felt that little tug here by the Spirit of God. Just gentle. He's not a pushy person. But listen, the Spirit of God is not pushy. He does not knock you out of your chair. You got to get saved. He says, what that man just told you is right. And the devil came in there and says, hush your mouth, honey. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a Baptist. Well, I'm a Bible believer. First. You saw that out there on the door. And I do know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. If that devil's come in there and shut that little visor over your head, don't be hard-hearted and do not let your sin cloud your perception of the words of God. At the least, you should say, you know what, I ought to get that preacher's point of view on the thing. I won't give you mine. I'll take you to the book and you can see for yourself how to be saved. You don't want to leave here lost. That is not a good way to go. You will never have a true picture of the things going on around you out there as long as you continue to look from man's point of view instead of God's. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to open the words of God and see and perceive the truth. Now I ask you for our saints that are here today, those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, work in our hearts and help us to understand that perception is something that comes from you and is clouded by our sin and our hard-heartedness. And I pray, Heavenly Father, we won't approach the words of God that way. Heavenly Father, I pray for any soul that's here today without Christ, that they will see truly that what you said is true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.